Right. So today's theme, I normally send the newsletter. I don't know whether you've noticed the pattern. It's usually the Wednesday, the week before the retreat. Okay. I send the newsletter. It's only because I don't work on a Wednesday. So I that's the only reason. But I sent the newsletter this time on Thursday because I was like, oh, I couldn't come up with a theme. And because I was on a retreat in the monastery. And I thought, oh, by the end of this retreat, I'll probably be in a different space to what I am now. So I didn't want to fix myself with something when I come to the day. I'm not really connected to that theme. So I thought I put, let's see what arises. And so I thought, oh, that well, whatever arises could be the theme. And that's what's encouraged in this tradition as well, to speak from how you're feeling in that moment where you are. So, and that it could also be a theme in itself. Let's see what arises for all of us, which is what we're doing in the practice, isn't it? We're seeing in this moment what's arising, what life is showing us to understand, to learn, and then let go. It's all about seeing things fully with an open heart, with complete honesty. And then once you see it fully, usually dispassion arises or disenchantment, because usually it's telling you something. A truth that you really didn't want to look at or see. It's painful. And that's what the Buddha said, the first noble truth, it's painful, it's suffering. And so then you get disenchanted. Oh, is this what it is? And then you let go because you see this, there wasn't any substance to any of this I was fooled by and holding on to. And then we opened up to a much greater freedom, a greater peace. So the second noble truth, the Buddha said, is a cause of pain or suffering is clinging. And so we naturally let go when we see the first noble truth, and then we end up in Nibbana. And then the fourth noble truth is a path. So, in that sense, it says that not everyone can see this. Not everyone can just see or get disenchanted and let go and end up in Nibbana. There is a path we have to follow to be able to do the understand the first three noble truths. Without following that path, then we can't expect. To see the suffering in the right way, to see the pain and feel disenchanted, and see that that what we have to do is let go, and fall into that freedom. So this path is what we have to really cultivate and follow, and the other three will fall into place when the path is, for a better word, matured, when our heart has matured, developed through cultivating all the factors of the path, the other things fall into place. So we said a bit about how the day will go. So in the morning, usually we spend time going inwards in meditation. And so we keep noble silence. And then in the afternoon, there's reflections and sharing and so Dhamma discussion, discussing Dhamma. And that is also part, an important part of the path. So the Buddha said, you know, so if people are familiar with this, the stages of enlightenment, so for stream entry, which is where we were fully in the path, your work, there is no, you're not going to be swayed in another direction. Your whole life is committed to this path, and you know you're on the boat on this river, still one way heading to Nibbana. And to get on that boat, on that river, the Buddha said, you need to be with spiritual friends, which we are. You need to hear the Dhamma, listen to it carefully. And then he said, you need to discuss the Dhamma, so which is what we will do today. And then you need to practice Dhamma according in line with the Dhamma, which sounds a bit, what is that? What do you mean by practice Dhamma in line with Dhamma? So practice Dhamma without a self, without me practicing. This is my practice, this is my goal, this is my path, these are my friends. This is me observing, this is me sitting. So practicing Dhamma in accordance with Dhamma. So even the practice, you're applying it the way the Dhamma is. So sort of letting go of that sense of self that is doing it. So when you approach the practice, although it's not completely complete sort of non-self, because the realization it's only when we realize it that there is no self there. But as much as we can, we bring to mind that letting go, and then when we see it coming up, there it is. It's not to get rid of it or push it away or get angry with it or suppress it, but it's to recognize, I can see the sense of self arising and ceasing, and you let it be. And then you bring the heart, just the body, the mind, the presence to the practice. And then the more we do it this way, then we are practicing Dhamma in line with Dhamma. So that's where that comes from. Okay, so that's what we'll practice today. And to start with, we should remember the Buddha, the Dhamma, and our teach Sangha, the teachers. So we beautiful flowers today offered by Mark. And very sweet, you put two flowers there as well. It's very nice. So we light the candles and incense, and it's a symbolic offering from our heart in gratitude to those on the path and the Buddha and Sangha. And then we'll chant it. It's on page two of this chanting book. And then we'll go to do the three refuges and five precepts. And on Alex's request, I'll explain the choreography of it. So the three refuges we do only in Pali, Namo Tassa and the three refuges. And then the precepts we do Pali and English. Yo so Bhagavan Sambuddho, to the Blessed One, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment. Svākhātoyena Bhagavatā Dhammo, to the teaching which he expounded so well. Supatipanno yassa bhagavato sāvaka-saṅgho, and to the Blessed One's disciples who have practiced well, Tamayaṁ bhagavantaṁ sadhammaṁ sasaṅgham. To these, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offerings our rightful homage. Sadhu no bhante bhagava suchira parini bhutobi. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation,
Pacima janatanu kampamanasa. Still have compassion for later generations. Ime sakare du gatapanna karabhute patigan hatu. May these simple offerings be accepted. Amhakam digaratam hitaya sukaya. For our long-lasting benefit and for the happiness it gives us. Arahant Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one. Buddham Bhagavantam Abhivadeni. I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one.
Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo.
The teaching so completely explained by him. Dhammang Namassami. I bow to the Dhamma.
Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. The blessed ones, disciples who have practiced well. Sangam Namami. I bow to the Sangha.
1, 2, 8.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Panatipata viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi.
I undertake the precept to refrain from taking the life of any living creature.
Adinnadana viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi.
I undertake the precept to refrain from taking that which is not given.
Kamesu vichachara viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi.
I undertake the precept to refrain from sexual misconduct.
Musavada viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi.
I undertake the precept to refrain from lying.
Suramiraya macca pramādatthāna viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi.
I undertake the precept to refrain from consuming intoxicating drink and drugs which lead to carelessness.
Imani pancha sikkhapadani silena sugatindi silena bhoga sampada silena nibhutinyanti tasma silam visodhaye.
These are the five precepts. Virtue is a source of happiness. Virtue is a source of true wealth. Virtue is a source of peacefulness. Therefore, let virtue be purified.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you.
morning puja, we reflected on the last line of the morning chanting. That by practicing this path, it leads us to the end of every kind of suffering. And now we can reflect further in practicing this path. We said practicing Dhamma in line with the Dhamma. So that is what will lead us to the end of every kind of suffering. So almost all of us here are experienced meditators. So as we sit here, we can question and wonder, are we practicing Dhamma in line with the Dhamma? We experience the body, we experience the mind, there is that which is experienced, and also that which is observing the experience. So the questions we can pose are, what is here? What's happening? What is this body? What are these things that are arising in the mind? What's observing it all? And who is in the body? Who does the body belong to? Who is in this mind? Who is in the feeling? Who does the feelings belong to? Who is in the thoughts? Who does the thoughts belong to? Who is in all these memories? And who do the memories belong to? Who are these in perceiving the world? Who is there? And who owns these perceptions? And who noise that we see when the world is sensed. And who owns that sensing of the world? And who is observing all this that's happening? And who does it belong to? We just pose these probing questions to challenge our assumptions. So whatever experience that arises, just keep posing that question. Don't expect an answer. Don't create an answer. Just be curious. And wonder. For we have to understand for ourselves, unravel this experience for ourselves. And the only way to do that is through questioning. Being curious. Challenging the assumption of a fixed world centered around me. So I find using the question who quite helpful. It might not resonate with you, and if it doesn't, you know, you can park it to one side. So everything that kind of comes, kind of asking who. For me, it helps to create a space between observing and the experience and even the observation. And then you find that, well, I find the mind calms down as well, and it calms down through investigation. So it's called insight leading to calmness, or vipassana leading to samadhi, and then to samadhi leading to further vipassana, as opposed to using a calming technique like, you know, the breath or metta meditation or contemplating the qualities of the Buddha. That's using a object to calm the mind, and then you investigate afterwards. But you can also start your meditation through investigation, and that investigation leads to calming of the mind. And I think that one of the last retreats we had with Ajahn Asoko, he was talking about space and observing the space, looking at space, and then it's another object to focus the mind away from the things, and then that gives you the space to contemplate. Or they talk about the sound of silence, or you could use insight technique like looking at the arising and ceasing of things, arising and ceasing. So instead of just focusing on the breath, noticing how it changes, you know, then we're using insight technique, which calms the mind, and then that takes you further into investigation. So I find that's more, for me anyways, it's more effective than trying to calm the mind. Because I find my mind then is less likely to drift into a dull, sleepy state of too much calmness when I've gone through this route. But then everyone's different. What works for one person doesn't work for someone else. And then once you're, so you use these questions to investigate, you know, who is this, or what is this, arising and ceasing, or where is this link? You could even use a part of the teaching. So Ajahn Amaro was sharing that when Ajahn Sumedha used to do the winter retreat, he would just use one part of the cycle of dependent origination, and they'll do just that for the whole 3 weeks. So he was saying the first part of the dependent original cycle is avijja paccaya sankhara, which is ignorance, conditions, mental formations. Quite a mouthful. And you're like, oh, mental formations? To use Ajahn Amaro's words, he said, mental formations? What the heck is that? and then ignorance. What is ignorance? So I stayed with that myself after he mentioned it. Or I fell into the thinking. So mental formations are all these thought creations that are bubbling up in us. And then at some point, your mind is just full of thoughts because it's always wanting to be something. You know, it can't just not be anything. So even when it's calm, oh, let's go be something. Even if it's something horrible, it wants to be something. So it comes up with this story. So avijja is ignorance, or this sense of self, or not knowing the reality and wanting to create a reality with a solid reality with the sense of self behind it. So this avijja conditions all these mental formations. And so what I was doing was I was looking, as soon as I saw a thought, a creation, I was like, ah, avijja paccaya sankara. So each time I saw a thought, I was like, ah, avijja paccaya sankara. So I could see this is ignorance. And it was easier for me to kind of create that distance between it. And then the rest of the cycle would be what? The body, consciousness, contact with the senses, and then feeling, and then clinging to that feeling and being born in that, and then suffering. And then you can contemplate how that whole thing links in your own experience. So again, this links back to practicing Dhamma in accordance with the Dhamma. So the practice is not just sitting here and calming the mind. I mean, it is part of it, but there is a lot of investigative work to do to really understand what's happening. And if you look at the four foundations of mindfulness, there is, you know, mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of feelings, and mindfulness of the mind, the thoughts, and then mindfulness of Dhamma. You know, what does it mean by mindfulness of Dhamma? And so then you're using these Dhamma teachings and sort of applying it and using it as a framework to investigate your experience. So that was an example using the cycle of dependent origination, or we were using just now, you know, non-self or impermanence. And so kind of, it all kind of comes together, the whole teachings, and it becomes very interesting. So if you feel like, oh, my practices is becoming a bit dull, it's like, oh no, this is really a wonderful tools to explore. And you know that you're going in the right way. If you feel like, oh, it's getting too complicated or getting more stressed, then you're not going using it in the right way. But if you find you're getting more joy, you're getting more freedom, getting more release, then you know you're going in the right direction.